both things, right? And when you think about that, what does that mean to hold on to the Lord? Explain that. How would you explain that? If Jesus says, "Hold on, hold on to me," what would that mean? You're trusting him. What are you in what kind of way are you trusting him? Trusting him for what?
Everything.
To bring you through.
Hold it. Jeff.
I lost what I was going to say. She
interrupted and I forgot.
Anybody want to give it a shot? Not now.
What was the question?
You know what? I could, if it's anybody up here, I could hand this to them too.
It's like he's saying, whatever you're going through,
yeah,
no matter what it is, he's alongside of you. And if you feel like you're going to fall, he's there to catch you.
Okay.
And that he knows what you're going through. He sees your tears. And he's there for you. So trust him and know that he's there.
Right. There's a trust involved, right? Okay. Well, if you're going to fall, if you're having a bad day or a bad year, whatever it is, right, and he's going to catch you, well, how do you know that?
Trust through faith.
Through what?
Through his faith.
Through faith, and where do you get that faith?
There's evidence. Yeah.
There's evidence because of what?
The
what?
The word.
The word of God, right? Doesn't everything fall back on what he has promised us?
Yes.
There's that word. What he has promised us. And where do we find all of these things that inform us about the kind of God that he is? You know, we get it through experience too. The experience confirms it. But I would imagine for all of us, we didn't really learn too much about God until we started reading the Bible. I didn't bring my Bible. Right? The Bible is the Word of God. This is the Word of God Church. You know, we named this the Word of God Church because of the importance of the Word of God in our lives. Now we all know that's true, but God really put it on me here that we're going to look at the Word of God today. We're not going to look at all the promises. We're going to look and see what the Word of God is and does, and I think this will really help us out as we proceed in life, because in this time of desperation, we do have to fall back on something, because we don't have the power ourselves, the ingenuity to meet life situations, especially in these kinds of days, in these days of desperation. What are we falling on? If we say, well, we're falling on God, we trust in God. Well, what are we trusting in with God? That he just makes everything right? How do we know that? How does that happen? Where do we get the internal fortitude to persevere through different trials? It comes because of the things we read in the Word of God. You're not going to just bolster yourself up, "I'm going to get through this because I'm just tough." That isn't how it's going to happen.
No way. Right.
No. No, we are going to rely on what the Word of God says. You notice that in the words of the songs that we sang, you know, the God of angel armies. You know, if we believe what we, the words that we sing,
yeah.
I mean, to the degree that we really believe that the God of angel armies has is bringing us victory,
right.
When we don't feel that way. Because that's where the rubber hits the road. When everything's fine, well, we can believe anything. It's when things aren't going the right way, right? So I want to hit some things here about the Word of God. And I just want to encourage all of us that we be people, I mean, we took the name Word of God Church, that we are really, really, truly people of the Word. Last week, we talked about the synergy of agreeing together, and there's power in numbers. How much more so with the Word of God, the power that's in the Word of God, and the blessings and the promises, how would that multiply if we're all people that are really giving ourselves over to the Word of God in a greater way? We're talking about prayer and that there's power in numbers with prayer. What about what's going to happen when the multiplying of faith and belief that comes from reading the word and saying amen to it? Woo. Lots of things that we have to do in spiritual warfare is using the Word of God itself. It isn't our pronouncements as much as us pronouncing what God has already said.
Right. Yes.
Isn't that right?
Yes.
The power comes through the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Amen? Yes. The Holy Spirit has already given the words that God wanted to give to the church in the church age for us to take a hold of, to live by, and to war by. So let's just look at a few things here about the Word of God itself. So let's go to John chapter 1. The Gospel of John chapter 1. We're going to read verses 1 to 5 and then verse 14. What we learn here, the Word is a person. The Word of God was a supernatural person who was God Himself. Yeah.
On the way to church this morning, I'm not kidding you, by the time we get to the airport, Stacy in the morning comes on Sirius. She read 1 through 5.
Well, how about that?
Yeah.
So do you think that maybe God wants us to hear that this morning, the confirmation that comes? All right, this is what it says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You see how important the Word is? He was in the beginning. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of mankind. And the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness did not grasp it. There's a war. Dark against light. Good against evil. This the whole age that we've been in, from the very beginning of this age, has been a struggle.
Yes.
It's been evil, that which is dark and turns away from the light, doesn't want to take hold of the light. And then there's the light. And there came a point where God sent the Word of God, His very nature, to this earth. And then it says in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, the glory of the unique Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. I bet you there's not one single person in this room that doesn't love truth. God, do we need truth?
Yes.
And you know where truth is? It's in the Word. It came from Jesus every time he spoke. It came from God when he spoke to the prophets, and the prophets were given a word to speak to the rest of the people. Yeah? Truth. Okay? So that's one thing that we really see here. And because it's true, this is why we trust what's in that Bible. We trust it because we know it came from God. When we became Christians, one thing that we came to realize was that the Word of God is the truth. That God was going to have a witness in the world that we could rely on, because everything is so discombobulated otherwise. So many different theories, so many different religions and ways to get to God. And God says, no, you guys are going to be really confused. I'm going to give you an instruction manual.
Yes.
Now, I don't know. Go ahead, Jeremy.
The problem is most men don't read the instructions.
That was just what I was going to say. And this is why, it's important. God has given us an instruction manual, and many of us don't even read it. We don't feast on it. We don't read it every single day the way we really need to. Kathy and I were talking last night, or this morning or last night, about,
I don't need this.
we were talking about how, you know, you get, we had gotten this metal shelving that we were going to put up. And it looked really simple. I mean, you know, few screws here and there. So we go and we put it to somebody's connecting here. Somebody is connecting with this. So Kathy and I are putting this thing together. We don't need the instruction manual. We can do this on our own. Something this simple.
She brought you into this to help.
So we put the thing together, and then we step back to look at it. We put the shelves in upside down because we had the whole frame upside down when we were putting it on. So when we went to put it upright, the shelf now is under this way. We had to take the whole thing apart and do it. Because, you know, lots of guys are too proud to look at the directions. And if anybody should look at the directions, it should be me. What?
They're suggestions.
But I want to say this, right? You know, we can joke around about all of that kind of thing. But when it comes to the instruction manual for our life, right? What's going to get us through all kinds of different circumstances? What's going on inside of us? The way we even look at ourselves and how we perceive who we are as a person. We're going to talk about that as we go down through. Okay, so
just trying to build the point here. All right, so
Isaiah 55:11 says this, "So shall my word go forth out of my mouth. It shall not come back to me void. It shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing that I send it to do." Yes. See, we can trust. We can trust that word of God, can't we? Because it doesn't come back to him empty. It's going to accomplish what he sets out there. And sometimes the things that have to happen are going to take a long period of time. Let's go. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Most of you probably know this one off the top of your head. It says this, "For the word of God is living and active,
yes,
and sharper than any two-edged sword, even penetrating as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart."
Yes.
Okay, one thing about God's word, it's not dead letters on a page.
Right.
It's living.
Yes.
It's living. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Yes.
And that person is Christ himself, who ministers to us. The Holy Spirit ministers to us. Reading words without the inspiration of the Holy Spirit isn't going to do us much good. We notice here in what it says, he has very intimate knowledge of us. He can go right through to penetrate, divide soul and spirit. He sees everything about us. He sees all our motivations, why we say the things that we do, how we cover up things so that people don't notice some of our fallacies and insecurities. But he sees all of that, doesn't he? I was going to say something, but God said, don't do it. So I'm not going to do that. Psalm 119, verse 105. Anybody know it right off the top of your head? Psalm 119, 105.
Give us a word.
The word? What?
Give us the first word. I'll buy these.
Your word.
It's a
lamp. Okay, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So that's something about the word of God. So, you know, you need a lamp. You need light when it's dark. Do I need to have a flashlight in here right now? No. But if I had to go into some darker area, I might need to either turn a switch and turn the light on, or I'm going to need some kind of lamp or something to help me to see when it's dark outside. Isn't this a good thing, see? When the world is in the darkness and when darkness seems to be prevailing, where should we be running? To the Word of God. Because it is the light unto our path. Isn't that right?
Yes.
It's a lamp unto our... So we don't go off the path. The word keeps us from being deceived. The word keeps us from following emotions. From we see things that are going on TV that can draw us into all kinds of an emotional response. We have light that shows up. You know, like what we were first talking about here this morning. You know, we're ambassadors on this world. But this isn't where the kingdom resides, right? In the world system. It resides in us. It resides in heaven. Right?
Right.
Because the Lord's Prayer. Yes. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's something that should be in our hearts to see. But until that time comes in a full manifestation, we don't live there. We don't have to be destroyed by the things that are going on around us. We have to be a light in a dark place, just like Jesus was. Well, not just like Jesus, but you get the picture, right? All right. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. Another important ingredient about the word. And it says this in verse 17, Ephesians 6. Take the helmet of salvation, and then it says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So the Word is supposed to be something that we actually use. It's an offensive weapon.
Yes.
It can be used for defense, but it is the offensive weapon in the armor of God. It's our offensive weapon. What would you use that for? How would you use the Word of God? In other words, what's that talking about there? Ephesians 6:17.
Yeah.
What's it talking about?
Striking down evil.
We're in battle. When words and feelings and thoughts come into our head that goes against what God says, what do we do about it? Oh, no. No, what are we going to do? No, I am more than a everything's defeated, nothing's going. No, I'm more than a conqueror. It doesn't matter what's going on around me. I am more than a conqueror in Christ.
Yes.
I am His friend. Right?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. You see, the world and the world system, the darkness, wants you and me to not agree with the Word of God, but with what is all around us. And yet Jesus tells us not to see things with our eyes, right? We need to agree with the Word of God in our spirits, no matter what's going on, right? And we can't shrink back. Oh, everything's done right there. What's the use? No, I am more than a conqueror in Christ. You are more than a conqueror. The things that are going on in this world don't have to bring us down. Do you think that people that are in darkness need to see people of light that believe? You know, we sang that song, We Believe. We believe in the Father, we believe in the Son, we believe in the Holy Spirit, and we believe in the resurrection. Wow, if we believe all those things, we should be pretty darn positive people.
Right.
It doesn't mean that we're Pollyannas and don't realize what, you know, all the real things that are going on around us. But we're not going to allow that to bring us down to a low level, a defeated level. Yeah?
Right. Right.
How important is that for us, living in the time that we're living in right here? Time of desperation, yeah. It's desperate all around us. But it isn't for me, and it's not for you. Because we have Christ. We have promises.
Yes.
We have the Word of God that says things. You know, the Scripture says that it won't be long, and you won't find the wicked in the world. Who inherits the earth?
The meek.
The meek. The meek inherit the earth. That's going to happen sometime. So when we're going through what we have to go through in the process of the evil and the good, coming up against each other, which is, like I said, it's going on for this whole age. Nothing new. It's just that we're in it right now. Yeah. We're the ones that are affected by it right now. Yes. But we know how it all ends.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
And we need that to get through the junk that we have to walk through right now. We need that.
Yes.
Amen.
Proverbs 30, verse 5 says this: every word of God is pure. Oh.
Yes.
Oh, man. So, what you and I read in the Word, it's right. It's pure. We're getting the right kind of counsel from God. He's not trying to trick us. He's giving us that which we need to live in this life. Amen?
Amen.
You getting this?
Yes.
Because these are the kinds of things that can sustain us at this time. Another thing I want to say here. The Word is balanced. We've got to be careful. We have to be careful when we're reading that we don't just take one scripture and build something around just that scripture. It's like when I was younger, and our family was going to my grandmother's house on my mom's side. She's Italian, and if anybody knows anything about Italian grandmothers, when you walk into that house, there's always food everywhere. There is never, ever a time that I walked into my grandmother's house when there wasn't a whole bunch of food on the dining room table for people to come by, grab, and eat. And I mean, all kinds of meats and cheeses and wine and pasta and whatever your little old heart wanted. And there was another table where all the dessert things were. I do not know how that woman made so much stuff. And it was always there. And it wasn't even mealtime. We get there. We get there at 2:30 in the afternoon. It's in between the meal times. There's all this food all over the place. We love going to our grandmother's, right?
What's your point?
Now you threw me off. Yeah. So here's my point. When we went there, my favorite food out of all of that was my grandmother's pasta. It was my favorite food. Now, if you go and you only eat one kind of food, even if it's your favorite one, you're missing out on the variety of what other things are there. And you're not getting the total nutrition that you could get if you only feed at one trough. If you hear what I'm saying in terms of spiritual food, right? It's important that there's a balance in what we're eating as an individual member of the body of Christ and as a church, that we don't get focused on one thing too much to the detriment of other things. Right?
Amen.
I'm saying these things, you know, we're going someplace and we're going to be gone for more often than probably being here. And, you know, it's like, this was the thing I wanted to say to everybody, was how important the Word of God is, because that's what's going to sustain us as the people of the Lord. That's where it is. Because we don't want to be off in some deceived position on things. We want to be balanced in the way we approach life and how we talk to one another and how we function as a church, right?
Yes.
And so God just kind of laid on me, you know, what's really important is the Word of His Word,
yes.
The person of Christ, the Word made flesh, and how important that is that we cling right into that. Okay. 1 John chapter 2, verse 14, and I'm going to go to the point that this is kind of a lead into the point I'm going to make in the Gospel of John. 1 John 2, 14 says this, I have written to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God remains in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Okay? So this goes with this particular scripture in John 8, verses 31 and 32. So Jesus was saying to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide, remain, if you abide in my word, if you remain in my word, not just a Sunday morning thing, but a daily thing. A daily thing. You are then truly my disciples, and you will know the truth. And what happens? And the truth will set you free. Set us free from what? From what? Just shout it out there.
Sin.
Free from sin, from the shackles of sin. Instead of being controlled by our own personal ways of wanting and thinking, it's going to go by the wayside. We're going to be free.
Yes.
To move in the glory of how God sees things. His ways are higher than our ways.
Yes.
Right? His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than ours.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Free from the lies of this world.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. We're gonna be able to distinguish.
Yeah.
You're gonna know the truth. Well, that word know means to distinguish, to be able to understand what's true and what's a lie. Hallelujah to that, huh?
Amen.
That's why it's important to keep reading. If you think, well, I'll just get my information every Sunday and everything will be fine. We're going to find that's not going to happen. It's not enough. It is not enough. Okay. Matthew 4:4 says this. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out from the mouth of God. Mm-hmm. Now we need spiritual, we need food to live. You can't just live. It doesn't say we don't need bread. It says we can't live by bread alone. We need, in order to really live, to have abundant life, we need a spiritual feeding. Yes?
Yes.
And how many of you like to go on fasts?
Yes.
For,
I don't like nobody.
Yeah. Nobody, and some more especially than others, don't want to give up eating food. It's so true in the realm of the spirit that we're not, we've got to eat spiritual food. That happens every day. And I'll tell you that it's so important that when we get in the habit of reading the Word of God every day, I know that we're all doing this, but I'm just encouraging the fact that this is important. Sometimes you can get into the mechanics of, okay, well, I got to read my devotions today. But when we're asking God to make these things so real to us, right? That and say, God, I want to understand what I'm reading here. What was the intent of the Holy Spirit in writing those words down? Because those words are life. Those words are powerful. They're active. They're powerful. They have impact on us if we let it, right? If we let it. Okay, getting right down. Last scripture. Matthew chapter 7. And this deals with responding, being obedient. All right? Here's what it says. Matthew 7, verses 24 to 27. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them. We can't just be hearers only. Right? Can't be hearers only. Otherwise, we look in the mirror and we go, oh, I'm doing pretty good. It says, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be likened to a wise man who built his house on a rock, on a good foundation, solid. It's not going to move, right? And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house. Does it say that that the rain came down but missed that house?
No.
It's and the winds blew somewhere else, but we could hear it. No, it's beating up against that house, slamming up against that house. It isn't that we're immune to what's going on, but you know what it says here, right? But it did not fall because it was founded on the rock. What was it? What was the scripture there about Peter? Right? What did it say? Yeah, that the church is going to. It says you're Peter. Yeah, you're, and that word Peter means a small stone.
Yeah.
He says, I'm gonna build my church on the rock, and that rock is the Word of God. It's the Word of God. You're a little piece, but the Word is the rock. That's what the church is going to be built on. It's not, Peter wasn't put in some high place there. You understand that? If you look at the Greek words, there's a difference there, right? And the Word of God is the rock that is the foundation for us to move along.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So, and then it says, and everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't act on them will be likened to a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the wind blew and slammed against that house. And it fell. And great was its collapse. So, obedience to the word produces victory. Disobedience or inaction, possibly, produces calamity. So we have responsibility in our reading and our hearing the word. And when God provokes us to speak a word to somebody, we have responsibilities that way, don't we? To respond to the word of God. So I'm going to just read what I wrote down here. Knowing these things, we must make a concerted effort, right, to feed on the Word. And the people that are moved on by the Holy Spirit to bring a message, they better be in the Word. Right? So Lord, I just pray that we would be people that would, just like the name of the church, that we would be people that reverence your Word, that trust in you. Lord, help us, I pray. Let that Word be living and so alive in us, active, powerful. Let your Word go forth out of this place with power.
Yes.
In the authority that God has given us. And Lord, as it was mentioned, Lord, all authority has been given to you, the Word of God. All authority has been given to you. And Lord, you have given us the right to walk in your authority. And Lord, we don't stand idly by just watching the things of this world just play out. But Lord, we stand in your authority. We desire rightness and purity and your kingdom to grow in this world. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Lord, we come in the authority of Jesus Christ. We pull down right now in our own minds, in our own hearts, the strongholds that would hold us back, the fears, the unbelief, the insecurities, all those things, all those strongholds that could be in us, Lord. We ask that those get pulled down, that we would be children of light, and that we would walk in the light of your Word.
Yes.
We thank you, Jesus, today. We're encouraged today. We build you up. We hold you up, Lord, as the Word of God made flesh. And we thank you, God, that you're coming back, that you're going to take care of this evil, corrupt world, and you're going to make it a beautiful place again, and that we're going to rule and reign with you. In Jesus' name, thank you, Jesus. Amen.